Hello and welcome to The Concept. I am Nivedita Varadarajan. The G7 nations are working on a mechanism to cap the price of Russian oil. They believe that this will limit the fund inflow into Russia and therefore it will stop the country's war in Ukraine. But what exactly is this price cap? How will this mechanism work? And most importantly, will developing nations pay heed to them? To put things in context, I have with me someone who follows the development in the oil sector keenly. Richa Mishra, our Chief of News Bureau, Hyderabad and Kolkata. Thank you so much for joining us today and welcome to the program.
Hi, Nivedita.
Let's start at the very beginning. What is a price cap and how exactly does it work?
So, Nivedita, let's get first thing first that the whole concept of price cap is not something new. There was a time when there was a huge volatility in the crude oil market when OPEC itself had done so.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, subsequently, OPEC did away with it, but the concept per se is not new. And what do? Just like in any other thing, you put a price beyond which, you know, the movements cannot happen. You can call it a ceiling price, mm-hmm. beyond which things don't happen. There are debates on how it works, where it works, whether it will work or not. You know, G7, of course, is trying to convince the world that it does work and it is the right decision. But one has to keep in mind that there are many people in G7 also who could get adversely affected if a decision like this is taken.
So what exactly happened when OPEC did the price cap? They put a price cap for themselves, right? So this is quite different.
Yeah, no. So OPEC is producing nations, no? So
yeah.
They decided that if they have a pricing mechanism in place, it's something like what India does, and it is, of course, on paper, our retail pricing is deregulated.
Mm.
The market is fully open. But we all know when elections happen, there is an artificial control which is put in. The price is not allowed to move.
Yeah.
So it's something like that. But because they were producing nations, they did it, and the consumers had no option but to follow the diktat.
Mm.
But we should not forget that when you do an artificial control, there are other means also that happens. Like there's a concept called Asia premium. So there are various ways through which money is taken. In our own country, let's talk about, I'm just giving you an example, drawing a parallel with the retail pricing. What happens that there is a control on the pricing at the retail end. Suppose you are buying your petrol at rupees 100 and you've been buying it for some time, whereas globally the price would have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the face of it, we'll think that, okay, the government is letting go and, you know, there'll be a loss and all. But why do you not understand that there are hidden costs in it? There is a cess, there is this, there is that. So money is being made. It looks, on paper, it looks nice that, okay, the price is just that. It gives you a comfort time, no? You don't know the hidden reality.
Yeah.
Even I just believe, oh, the price price is less. It's just that. To explain it to a lay person, it's just that. That it gives you a kind of a comfort that, oh, prices, where the reality could be actually different.
So what exactly are the G7 planning to do?
So, you know, it's still a lot of clarity remains to be seen as to how the pricing will work out. And that's what we have argued in Capital Ideas also as to, you know, how exactly the dynamics will work out, how you're going to benchmark it, what is the price which you're going to derive. You know, there are so many crude variants globally, over 100. And benchmarks with markers for pricing, there would be the popular ones would be 10 odd. And the most popular, of course, is Brent, which we all talk about. But which marker are you going to take? If you're going to link it to Brent, the whisper which we hear is that they're going to link it to Brent and put a cap of $60.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're linking it to Brent and putting it a cap of $60, you're actually distorting the price market fully. Because what happens when you open it up again? You'll see a steep hike in pricing, right? It is just an artificial control. And this you are doing just because you are convinced that one country will be squeezed to or pushed against a wall and things will not work out for them, which again may not be true.
So will this cause a price hike?
See, this is what I see it as a knee-jerk short-term reaction of trying to push Russia to a corner and, you know, curb all the sources of revenue which Russia has. Once you do away with it, there will be a huge spike in prices because the producers will want to have their realization, right? Return on investment is what everyone looks for. I need to also, you know, put here a context that, you know, Russia anyway is selling us at discount. It's crude. Russian crude is anyway being sold at a discount. So, and the sheer volume which Russia produces, you know, it is still making money. And if you do a back of envelope calculation on the capacity which Russia has, and if India, suppose, buys almost 50% of India's requirement from Russia, and suppose China buys the remaining, Russia is still good to go. It is not losing anything. What has happened today and why everyone is talking India or looking at India is because it's of sheer size, the consumer base, where India goes plays a very, very significant role. And one has to acknowledge this, that India has played its part with great maturity here. No, it's taking its commercial decision, not based on emotions. India is behaving like a typical consumer. Even you and I, when we go out shopping, when we pick up, what do we look at? We look at the price factor, right?
Yeah.
If a product which we want is available at a discounted price or a lower price, and it's the same product, there's no difference there. So won't you buy which is available to you at a lower cost? You will. That's
most definitely.
So that is exactly what India is doing. India is not allowing its other decisions to influence its commercial decision.
It is not only India which is doing this. Other Asian nations are also doing this. China is one of the biggest importers of Russian oil. Indonesia, if I'm not mistaken, is in talks with...
Yeah, but you know why we say India is because India has... China, one knows the posturing which China will take. India is being taken as an example now more frequently is because we have to not forget that there was a similar kind of American pressure when Iran had happened. And at that time, India had not taken a stand. So this time, when India is taking a stance, it is being looked very differently. There is a key difference in the way India is now looking at its diplomatic relations.
So speaking of Iran, if Iran oil comes into play, could that ease up prices?
See, any oil which comes into play will ease up tensions. But the point here again is that it's not only oil. How do you get that oil is also very important. Sourcing bit. Shipping lines need huge insurance, which mostly European banks do. The might of our banks are not that huge is what we are told. So in case of Russia, Russia is willing to do it. It's giving its own ship line also. Now, that's another debate, how much ships Russia will have available. And, you know, this is where the challenge is coming, because China, you know, if India had that trans-pipeline network, even this issue would have been sorted. But, yeah, so there are other factors also involved as to how do you get it, from where do you get it. The other thing also we shouldn't forget is a lot of crude is not procured through spot market. So you really don't know which oil is coming in, no?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very interesting play that is happening.
You told us that Russia is selling oil in deep discounts, and Europeans and Japan are the ones who are trying to who give insurance and are also heavily the ones who transport, right? So all the ships are from either Europe or Japan, if I'm not mistaken. So can Russia continue to sell its oil with deep discounts if these price caps come into place?
Oh yes, Russia is not going to lose in any way
Okay, how so?
if India remains the market. As I said, India China alone are enough to take care of Russia. Russia's oil, not Russia, Russia's oil.
So there'll also be other things like fertilizers and other materials which we need from Russia anyway. So we'll still be buying a lot from Russia.
Yes. And now that we are talking about the currency trade also, things might just work out.
So what about the other importers? G7 might stop. India and China will continue to buy. What about the rest of the world?
See, so there is another interesting point which we must remember here, Nivedita, is certain reports that had come in that the American shale industry that also said that if you stop Russian capacity into the market, they may not have enough to meet that incremental loss.
So in
So,
the US, they'll have a problem giving fuel then.
no, US has Gulf of Mexico and everything. US as well. US has no challenges. So we're talking about the overall market. That capacity has to be replaced by some other place, right? If
And
Russia,
we don't have that right now.
yeah, so
Because
they're
Iran
saying.
is under sanction, Russia, Venezuela is under sanctions.
Yeah, Venezuela, Russia, Iran is still there. So that's what they're pointing out, that we may not be able to replace that.
So what is the way out of this then? If the price cap does come into place, there will be a spike. What is the way out other than buying Russian oil or buying Venezuelan or Iranian oil?
The way out, I mean, either they increase capacity, or other thing we must remember that it is not mandatory. It is not mandatory on India to follow the diktat of G7. So India can still, I mean, that is why they're persuading India. The persuasive skills are being used because you cannot diktat it. It's a commercial decision, and that's why I said India has handled the situation with great maturity. It has not, its commerce is independent of its other bilateral ties, which it has with other nations. Commerce is ruling, which is very good.
When the prices crashed in 2020, India bought a lot of oil and it kept in reserve. Is India still having it? And this, in the worst scenario, prices shoot up, will India use that reserve oil?
So let me just clarify there that India's reserve capacity is not enough to meet its demand. What we have is, say, just a 9-day thing available.
Only that's it, 9 days.
Yeah. If I'm not wrong, it's only that much. So
Okay, so it's not a viable long-term solution. It's not even a short-term solution.
not at all. So we don't have it. That is why, and what smart thing India is doing now, which it should have done long back, but it is now doing it with more effort, that India's energy basket has really expanded. So it's just not one part of the world or one country which is supplying maximum to India. Although maximum still comes from West Asia, but we have the portfolio is very well expanded and we are balancing it out now. So we are just not dependent on one place for our supply.
Okay, thank you so much for explaining us this whole issue in detail.
You're welcome.
Thank you, listeners, for listening in. This is Nivedita, and I thank you for listening to our podcast. We will be back with another episode soon. Good day, Nivedita.